Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen. Now that we have a few warmer days, Paul Wearson is back with me, and this will be a program of congratulations for awards and recognitions, or at least subjects of the front page stories in our local newspapers.
Well, hi, Susan. Good to be back. And I am a fair weather friend. I come only when it's warmer. And it's good to be back, especially since I'm welcoming all of you to my hometown, Story City, for this road trip. And in talking about awards and celebration, you must be thinking and talking about the front page story in the Story City Herald, talking about Roland and Story City being named in the top 20 of the 100 best towns under 5,000 in population.
Yes, that was one of the stories I had in mind. And surprisingly, Roland, the smaller town, outranked Story City. Story City ranked 20th of the 100 Iowa towns under 5,000. And Roland was 8th.
Well, now that's a point of contention. Anyway, the new mayor of Roland, Andy Webb, may have had something to do with this, publicizing this ranking. Maybe we'll have a chance to talk with him later at the Yellow Cup. I'm sure we will. I've met him several times already.
The Yellow Cup restaurant also rated a front page story a couple of weeks ago, and I think that should be one of our stops on the road trip to Story City. But I was also impressed with what I read about a couple of teachers from Roland Story High School.
Yes, I'm ahead of you on that one. I've already lined up an interview with Brad Taylor, ag instructor and FFA advisor at Roland Story, and he received and he's nominated for a very important award, a finalist for the Golden Owl Award.
As soon as I saw the article in the Story City Herald, I knew Brad was the teacher you'd talked about so much whenever we discussed teachers we should feature on Local Talk. There was another teacher mentioned in the same front page because of what he's doing to teach students how to create TED Talks.
I know Thomas Klett, the extended learning program teacher at Roland Story. As soon as I read the article, we did call him for an interview, so we're going to be able to talk with Thomas, too.
It sounds like we have our Story City road trip all laid out, and here we are at Roland Story High School.
Yes, and I want to welcome Brad Taylor here. He is the ag instructor and advisor to the FFA program here at Roland Story. Brad, welcome.
Well, thank you.
I think it's, 40 years in education?
Yeah, this is my 41st year at Roland Story teaching ag education.
So has your whole career been here?
Yes, yep.
Well, that is devotion and success.
If
you've done anything for 40 years, you're good at it.
You certainly hope you can claim that. Yeah.
Now, tell us about the Golden Owl Award.
Okay. The Golden Owl Award is one that was just started this year by Nationwide Insurance, and I became familiar with it last fall at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis when I met with one of the Nationwide Vice Presidents who happens to be a graduate of Roland Story, Devin Furman. And Devin kind of told me a little bit about what it was, and it's a recognition program that Nationwide is doing this year in Iowa and in Ohio. And its purpose is just trying to recognize ag teachers who are doing things for kids, trying to get kids to perform the best they can and bring out all their abilities as best as possible.
Well, you know, here's testing my knowledge. The logo for the FFA has a plowshare or a plow. And on that plow is perched an owl. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And that's where it comes from.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, that's pretty impressive. I could dig that out of my memory.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's little known, but there's an owl. And I suppose that signifies learning, education, and wisdom.
Yeah, the owl would be basically a part about the advice that the advisor or the ag teacher would be offering to the students. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the important things to understand is that the organization is for students with an interest in agriculture, but it is student-run, and the advisors there are just to kind of give them the advice when asked for about things that they can do or maybe shouldn't do or things to think about that they haven't thought about.
So this is sort of student-centered in many ways that probably a lot of people aren't aware of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people just foresee the part that the FFA might be just a bunch of farm boys who are there, but in realism, any more I think now nationally of 680,000 FFA members, they said now that 51% are now female. So the females are now more than what the males are in the FFA organization.
Well, I think when I see pictures in the paper, the Story City Herald, featuring anything about the program, it looks like all your officers are girls. Most of them, aren't they?
There are a few of them that are girls, right, in that part of it. But, you know, you mentioned the part about the paper, and we're fortunate, like, the Ames Tribune and the Sun-Times will publish a lot of the different things that get done, and they'll do it for any of the surrounding schools. So Nevada has a lot of things in there that emphasizes the wide variety of careers that are there. Gilbert does the same part of it. We'll try to get articles in the paper just showing the general public about the wide range of agricultural opportunities. And it's really one of the things that I think I saw something from the Department of Labor just back the end of January that there will be roughly 57,000 new jobs in agriculture this year that require some type of training beyond high school, and they're afraid they're not going to be able to fill at least 20,000 of them.
So yeah, I think that's so true generally across the board.
Yeah.
We have to realize that many of these job opportunities are not things that were existent before, and they might not require a four-year degree. It might just be an associate degree or a specific course at a community college.
Yeah.
But it's so important, I think, for students to realize that they need to do some training beyond high school.
Right.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is in that one, Paul, and it's what they really refer to in that report from the Department of Labor about skilled employees. Skill could mean simply some type of certificate program. It could be a junior college, it could be a four-year college, or beyond. I think one of the most interesting things happening in recent months around Central Iowa has been the part that Ames High School next year is going to have an agriculture department for the first time ever, because they're starting to realize about all the different job opportunities that are out there in Central Iowa for agricultural careers.
But every time I read the Herald, and there's some feature about your program, I'm so struck by the wide variety of activities the students are. Last week, they were all learning how to wire a house, you know? And so there's a lot of things that you have in the FFA program that I would really call under the heading of life skills.
Really one of the things that I look at, and it's unfortunate we can't grade students on life skills more than it is the subject knowledge, because I think it's so important for kids to understand those soft skills, like you got to show up all the time, you got to put in a full hour's worth of work, you know, those type of items that are there and that part of it, so that they become learning the good habits of what their future is going to hold for them.
But in that little segment that I think of, it was in the paper, I thought, they're learning how not to electrocute themselves.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Now, this is a life skill.
Right. Yeah.
And then I think that I've seen they were separating DNA from...
Yes, yeah.
You know, these are all very thought-provoking things for a teenager to be involved with when I look back on what was available to teenagers when I was coming up, you know.
Right.
Shortly after the invention of dirt, that was. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just important... in the aspect of what the school does is to give the kids a wide variety of things so they can start figuring out where their interests are. Mm-hmm. A lot of them come into my program and a lot of the other career and technical ed programs not really knowing what they want to do, and it kind of gives them that exploratory part, and we're fortunate enough that a lot of kids in the area are going like, I think I might have an interest in agriculture as a career, but I don't want to farm. Yeah. But it's like, look at the opportunities that are out there for them.
Oh, there's a vast agribusiness area.
Yes.
And, of course, the course offerings at Iowa State reflect that wide variety. And so they're fortunate to live so close to a land-grant college like that so that they can go down and continue their education.
Sure.
It's sort of an unbroken chain from Roland Story.
Yes.
What's the penetration rate here in terms of numbers of students involved in FFA at Roland Story? First of all, what's the student population in high school?
I'm going to guess and say that we have an average class size like around 80. And I know the senior class is a little bit more than that, some class a little bit less than that. But it's interesting you mentioned that because we're just showing numbers for next year. Next year I will have roughly 240 students between first semester and second semester out of 320 students. So that's, you're looking at about a 75% rate.
Well, that shows that really effective things are happening, and the word among the student body is, you want to be an FFA, you know? Because how many of those students live out on a farm or an acreage?
Not very many of them. I think I have roughly about 100 members this year that most of them are in school. Some graduated last year and are still FFA members. But if there are 15 to 20 of them that live out in the country, that might be a high number. And a lot of those that live in the country just live on an acreage and
they're
not really...
They're not actively farming.
Right.
Yeah, that reflects a change from my era because, you know, I grew up in an era where there were probably four families in every section.
Sure.
And most people were from the country. In fact, that really influenced. There was an incident in the 50s when my brother was a senior. And school was canceled for the country kids, but not the city kids. And the city kids walked out. They wouldn't attend. But, you see, they were... it was about even then. You know, you had about half and half from the rural areas and actually farming, and then the other half lived in the towns or the communities.
Right.
Now, there's also a lot of competition, isn't there?
Yes,
a lot of things kids compete in that you train and work with them.
Yes.
What are some of the areas when you have these area meetings where they compete? Yeah. What are some of the areas where they compete?
We in the FFA have two different categories of contests. Mm-hmm. One are called leadership contests, which are typically speaking contests, and the majority of them will be individual, so it could be extemporaneous speaking, public speaking, creed speaking, ag broadcasting comes to mind. And then they also have some that are more team-oriented as leadership contests, and they would be parliamentary laws and procedures, and one that they call like a chapter presentation. So the kids kind of learn a little bit about collaboration there, but it's also all based on your communication skills of oral communication. Mm-hmm. The other category of contests that we're now just starting getting kids ready for competition in April are called skills contests. And those are teams of four, and they're really dedicated to different career areas. So as an example, we will have students involved in a contest called Farm Business Management, which is all business management oriented. We'll have another contest of four students that will do poultry evaluation. So they're going to be learning about chickens and eggs and turkeys and the meat parts of them and how to judge them and evaluate them. We'll have another group of kids that are going to do a contest called biotechnology, and they're going to be studying all about the genetic inheritance and the different modern equipment that are being used. And then there's another contest we're getting kids ready for called agricultural sales, where, again, they're going to try to sell products, but it's a team of four, and they have to learn collaboration skills to be able to be successful with it. So it's a wide range of things taking place.
And they would go to an area competition and
line
up against other schools.
Yes. Yeah. And as an example, the Farm Business Management Contest, they will hold these down at Ames, and they did that at the Hanson Learning Center on the south side of the campus area. And last year they had about 480 different kids were there representing 120 different schools.
Wow.
So that was really packed, and it was kind of fun to see it. Our kids got really excited last year because out of the 120 schools there, they finished seventh. So they felt pretty good.
They finished seventh out of 120. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that same group of kids wants to do it again this year, and I'm going, nope, sorry, you're going to have to pick a different contest. We want to get more kids exposed to it rather than the same group of kids year after year on that part. So
they really wanted to go down there and top out last year.
Yeah. So they want to top last year, so they're going to do the poultry judging contest this year.
Wow.
So they'll get some more exposure to a different industry in agriculture.
And there are some students who have projects that take them to the fairs in the summer.
Yep.
Like I was in 4-H, I raised... beef cattle, you know, baby beef competition. And you have several students involved that go to the state fair and the county
fairs. Yes. Yeah, and we call it an agriculture SAE, which is Supervised Ag Experience. And the kids are coming up with projects. And the number one reason for it is for them to understand financial literacy and have to make decisions. So it's not just to go out and make money. It's about can you have a project that you can analyze and make decisions on. And one of the things that I always hope for each of the kids, and this sounds bad, but I hope when they're doing different things that they end up failing on it so that they learn from the mistakes that they have made on that part. And it's really hard to tell that to kids, like, I hope you fail. But when I tell them this, I say, I hope you fail falling forward so that you can see what the mistakes were, you can learn from that to make correct decisions and better problem-solving skills in the future.
I can see why you're nominated for the award. because that is a far-ranging, worthy goal. I hear all the time in the general news out there that a lot of people who come out of high school are really bereft of any kind of financial skills or understanding about credit cards and managing your own money and how you spend it, how you budget. Right. And who would think that in CFFA, it's Future Farmers of America, well, who would guess that all these far-ranging programs are available through FFA?
Yeah. Yep.
So I hope our listeners realize they're getting a liberal education today about what FFA is.
Yeah. And I really hope that when Ames gets their program up and started this coming year, that they have, you know, people with that same type of philosophy saying, you know, look at all the external things that you can bring in. It's not just learning about how to raise animals or how to do things in a shop, but it's the bigger picture you want to look at and say, here's the skills we want to expose you to make you more employable in the future.
Well, I suppose some folks in Ames who have children in school wonder why an agricultural program is being initiated there in a more urban setting. But when you describe what you do and how far-ranging FFA is, that makes a lot more sense to those people who might wonder about that.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense to found that program at Ames High School.
Yeah. And, you know, in that same lines about the Ames starting a program, Des Moines already has had a program for a number of years. But I think in terms of like out in Philadelphia and Chicago and some of the larger urban areas, how big their agriculture programs are. In Chicago, they have the Chicago High School of Agriculture, and I think it has well over several thousand students involved in it that come in for a half day of learning specifically on agriculture topics.
I think that that's marvelous, and I think that it's been so nice to understand the full range of what's offered at FFA and really how directly applicable the skills they learn are. And I just know from seeing in the coverage of the paper and in the Sun, you know, I see that Nevada and Gilbert and your program, I think, is way above the norm. All three of those programs are great.
Well, I think one of the things that takes place there is we're all in kind of a competition sometimes to say,
who can
get the most articles submitted and if they will actually publish them and things of that part.
I'm one of the people who bug you about that because I say, Brad, there's three pictures from Nevada and you've got two.
Yeah. You know, one of the really nice things that the ag teachers talk about between Nevada, Gilbert, and Roland Story is that kids never look in the newspapers anymore, so they don't know if their picture's in or not, but it is the grandparents and the parents that look through that, and they get an idea what are they exactly doing in school. And one of my big wishes would be I would wish that other teachers and other curricular areas would take pictures of what kids are doing in their classes and submit them to the paper, put them on social media, so that people really understand, here's what these kids are doing in school and what they're learning.
Well, Brad Taylor, nominee for the Golden Owl Award, FFA advisor and teacher at Roland Story High School. Thank you, Brad.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
You just tuned in. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we're on a road trip to Story City. Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franson, have been at Roland Story High School, where Paul has been talking with Brad Taylor, the ag teacher and FFA advisor, who was just awarded $500 as a finalist for the Golden Owl Award.
Now, while we're still at the high school, we're going to be meeting now with Thomas Klutt. Was a very interesting new activity for Roland Story students. And Thomas, welcome to our show today.
Well, thank you.
Now, what is your position here at Roland Story?
I'm the high school, one of the high school English teachers. So there's two others of us in the English department. I'm also the extended learning program teacher at the high school, which is commonly known as talented and gifted.
Okay. Well, I'd like to think that I'm talented and gifted. Can I apply?
Yes, you can. Everyone's got talents. Everyone's got gifts.
Well, talk about this, the TED Talks. Now, for our listening audience, we know about TED Talks generally, but Well, he might elaborate on what TED Talks are. Let's start from the basic. What is a TED Talk?
All right. TED Talk, well, just a little bit of background on them. I'm not an expert, but they've been around since the 80s, actually. And over time, they've kind of become this, especially with the internet now, all these videos online. It's a place to learn about stuff. Originally, it was focused on technology, entertainment, and design, hence TED. And over time, they've just kind of grown and grown. People from all walks of life, politicians to scientists to computer experts to journalists, students, can deliver these talks. And they're designed to be a relatively short talk. Official TED Talks, I think, are no more than 18 minutes. And it just gives people a chance to share something that they feel strongly about. So it's a chance to learn.
Yeah, I know Bill Gates gave a TED Talk. And so a lot of these people are very prominent and well-known. As I understand it, a TED Talk is a talk you give about something you're passionate about.
Yes.
That's a good way to describe that, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
So now how does that model scale down to the high school level?
Well, the TED organization, they offer organizations to use the kind of TED branding. It's a TEDx talk in that case. Mm-hmm. And we applied for that license last year and were granted that. So we're doing TEDx Youth at RSHS. That's our official TED name. Mm-hmm. So TEDx talk is independently organized, so the actual TED organization doesn't really have any work in planning it. It's all kind of student-operated, student-run. So the whole idea there is just trying to get students involved in putting on an event like this.
So this is brand new this year.
First time we've tried it.
Do you have any handle on how many Iowa schools are involved in TEDx?
You know, just a couple months ago, I was trying to find that. TED's got a nice map of events and everything. To be honest, I couldn't find any high school. I don't know if any high schools have done a TEDx talk. I could be wrong about that, but I couldn't find any.
So as far as you know, Roland Story is sort of pioneering in this area in terms of the high school level TED talk.
I'd like to think so because, you know, Roland Story, we got a little pride there, a little Norse pride. So,
yeah, Norse pride. Now tell me how you presented this idea to the students. How did that go?
You know, being the first time for something, I think, you know, students are kind of wondering maybe what's going on, what's this all about. So I really use that word passion. I ask students, you know, if there's something that they're passionate about. And probably did a little more individual recruiting, tried to invite all students to submit proposals for this, but I think it was kind of that individual, hey, you know, do you want to do a TED Talk kind of really.
So you already had an idea of who's articulate, who probably is going to be good at expressing themselves and using structure to do that.
Yeah, a little bit. But at the same time, it was open to all students, so any student could ask to be part of this. They went through kind of an official proposal process in order to be selected for it.
So somewhat, it's self-selective. The people that are willing to go out and do this, they have to be motivated to do that, or they wouldn't step out to do this.
Yeah.
And sort of coincidentally, they might also be the students who are pretty articulate and willing to express themselves openly.
Yeah.
So how will this format unfold? And is something happening in an event that is going to be scheduled?
Yeah, this Thursday, March 7th, we're going to have our TEDx Youth at RSHS event here at the high school starting at 7 o'clock. We'll have four student speakers. Part of the TEDx license is we have to show a couple recorded videos, so we'll have two TEDx or TED videos that will play as well. So
that's this Thursday
that's
night.
This Thursday, yes.
And that'll be at the high school auditorium.
High school auditorium.
And that will present the audience with what a TED Talk is. And then, actually, the students will be giving TED Talks.
Yes.
And we'll have four speakers, is that
four
correct?
Speakers are lined up right now.
And you have one with you right now. It's
one
Whitney.
Us, yes.
Whitney, tell us about this, how you got involved, and maybe you can give us a preview of what's your passion.
For sure. I'm Whitney Erickson. I'm a senior here at Roland Story. And originally, Mr. Klett and Mrs. Farrell, another language teacher, had come to me kind of presenting the idea, telling me what it was about and asking whether I'd be interested or not. And so I think that the TED Talk just provides like a platform for students to share something that they're passionate about or want to share with fellow students in the community. And it's just a good opportunity to use that to impact the people who are listening. And, so my title is A Kind, Joyful, and Worthy Purpose. And so I'm just kind of reminding people of the kindness that's so necessary in society today, as well as just the purpose that we all have. It's just defined by what we know to be true and not what the world tells us. So,
very good.
Yeah.
And you're passionate about that.
Yeah, I am.
Well, just the title. Say those again.
A kind, joyful, and worthy purpose.
Well, I've already signed on to that.
Good.
You're not going to have much trouble convincing me. Now, this will be this Thursday at 7.
Yes.
And so you're all prepared now, and there are three other students who will be also giving their TED Talks.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and, you know, I think it's going to be wonderful. You're not nervous, are you?
No. I don't mind public speaking, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I was that way, too. I had to grow into it.
Yeah.
But I eventually became proficient at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are so many things, when you look at a person my age, that were not available or conceived of at the time when I went through high school. This is very, very creative. And it takes a faculty member to sign on and say, I'll do this in addition to what I've been doing all along. So, Tom, this is a great thing that you've stepped forward to do.
Yeah, it's all about giving students an opportunity. So always looking for opportunities for students to be able to express themselves. So I think this is a great platform.
I'm really looking forward to finding out if this is the only program in Iowa. That would really be flattering for your school.
You know? It would be nice. So,
and, of course, like anything else, if it starts one place, it spreads, you know. And I really hope you'll have that's open to the public.
Yes, right? It is.
Well, I'm going to be here. I didn't know till now that it was going to be 7 o'clock this Thursday.
Yeah, it's right around the corner,
yeah.
So
I'll be there.
Perfect.
Now, Whitney, when I hear your presentation, am I going to cry and be moved?
Well, I just hope it impacts the people who hear it. So.
Oh, yes, yeah. It's bound to. And do you know what some of the other topics might be, Tom?
Yeah, I know other speakers that we have lined up. One is Carson Parker. He's going to be talking about leadership. And Lauren Hansen's going to be talking about kind of what drives her. She's really into fashion design, so I think she's going to be focusing on that. And then Matthew Martins is going to be talking about kind of what drive, actually, how to stay motivated. So I think it's going to be, and then Whitney's with her topic. I think it's going to be an interesting lineup of students this first time.
Oh, yes. And actually, you know, what you're talking about here is not only the opportunity to practice public speaking, but also to really lay bare some of your feelings and passions. And so that takes a certain amount of courage, but at the same time, it makes you reevaluate and think what really matters to you. And it also assigns the public and the people who hear that as understanding that people who are in high school are people, okay? They are people who are thinking, who are evaluating, who are making a direction, finding a direction in life, and people who already have a lot of principles and guiding thoughts that have been inculcated to them in a variety of ways, and you're feeding back to us what you've become so far. That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, you have a manuscript. They write the speech. So you're working off a manuscript speech that you created.
Yes.
And that's good because that can be reproduced and shared with people.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope a lot of people come 7 o'clock on Thursday right here at Roland Story.
I'm kind of nervous about, I'm not sure if there's going to be 3 people or
whenever you do something
people.
New, you don't know, you know.
Yeah.
You just picture Moses saying, how about leaving Egypt? Well, he doesn't know how many people will come along.
Right.
And I know when you do something like this, you're nervous about it. But here's the story in my view, and that is that anyone who comes there, no matter what the number is, are going to take away from this something new that they didn't experience before, and they're going to share that with other people who weren't there. And so probably, if you begin to do this every year, you'll build an audience through word of mouth, because I think a lot of people who come will be amazed and impressed at the students and what they articulate and the intensity of their talk. And I would keep your copy of your speech, Whitney, forever, so that you don't forget how and what you thought of when you were your age.
I have a question, and that is, besides sending a couple of videos to the TED organization, do you have any plans, for example, putting these out on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm still doing some last-minute planning for this. I'm hoping to maybe live stream it. By the way, this might be live on the internet, just so you know.
Okay.
And then I need to figure out, we'll probably put on some YouTube account. I'm not sure what our school has for an account right now. Sorry, mm-hmm. I'm still looking at some of those details. But yeah, this will be something that will be saved. And that way, you know, for the students who participate, you know, here's another portfolio artifact. So if they're applying for college, applying for a job, they can say, hey, I've done a TEDx talk. And yeah. I think that's a strong bullet point.
Susan, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that means that no matter who shows up on Thursday in person, it's out in the world already and accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah, well, when you kept saying, can I have this manuscript, I thought, how 20th century?
Yeah, right. Well, it's still important to have a document, because we wouldn't have the Library of Congress without documents. So I really think that this is marvelous. The TED Talk coming up here at Roland Story, 7 p.m. That's a high school auditorium here.
Yes.
At Roland Story. And if you want to be involved with that as an audience member and see what TED Talks are all about, it's going to be fun to listen to that and enlightening. And whenever I go to the high school, I was here on last weekend for the production of Wizard of Oz. Fantastic. And you just have to remind yourself that these are high school people. It was professionally done. And this is on the other side of the scale, how passionate and thinking and articulate Roland Story, or high school people in general, are. Thanks for being here, Whitney.
Of course.
And Thomas Klett.
Thank you.
TED Talk this Thursday, Roland Story High School, 7 p.m. And we'll warn the world that it'll be available on the internet, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM. And Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franson, are on a road trip to Story City, investigating some of the features that make the front page of the Story City Herald. We just spoke with Brad Taylor and Thomas Klett, two outstanding teachers at Roland Story High School. Now it's time to stop by the Yellow Cup Cafe, which provides a welcoming space for a variety of community events, as well as coffee and food. Before we talk to the owner, I'd like to mention one of the features, which is, you know, the street piano that was donated by a couple of students from their J term at Roland Story High School. This is a program where students can explore a special interest during a short term in the winter. In honor of this piano, we are playing piano music during our transitions. For this transition, we'll play Für Elise, which was actually played on this piano after it was placed in front of the Yellow Cup Cafe.
Well, here on Broad Street in Story City, Iowa, which is actually Main Street, we're here with Shannon Hayden, who is the proprietor of the Yellow Cup, a relatively new restaurant here in Story City. Shannon, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Paul.
Now tell us about how this idea was born and the whole process where you decided to do the Yellow Cup.
Sure. So about 10 years ago, my husband and I were talking about opening up a coffee shop. We were living in just north of San Diego, California at the time. So we moved up here to raise our family. And then about in the middle of June of last year, 2018, we just decided to take a leap of faith. This building at 601 Broad was available, and the Yellow Cup Cafe was born. So 6 months.
Why the Yellow Cup? Where did that idea come from? Everything is yellow here, by the way.
Great question. So our youngest daughter's favorite color is yellow. So we've kind of, in the past 16 or 17 years, yellow is everywhere. And the name just literally came when I was talking to a friend. I said, I don't know. I'd open up a coffee shop and I would call it the Yellow Cup Cafe. So once I said that, I couldn't think of a different name to call our establishment here.
I can't come up with a better idea either. It's cute, you know, and I like your sign out front. And tell us about your concept here. This is not your big full-service restaurant. What are you trying to do here? Who are you attracting?
Great. The idea really was a grab-and-go or grab-and-stay sort of establishment. You know, everyone is so busy and on the go. We thought if you can just come in, grab a sandwich, grab a cup of coffee, grab a homemade muffin, and out the door you go. Or perhaps you want to stay and you want to visit with a friend or have a business meeting, or you want to come and do a study, books, you know, a homework or a book study, a women's group, a men's group, play cards, you know, just to be able to service both of those separate entities, either the grab-and-go or the grab-and-stay environment, was kind of the vision.
And that's what you're targeting, because when I come in here, there are a group of ladies, senior ladies, who are playing cards over here in the corner, and then there's the traffic coming and going. So it just hits me as a place where you could just loll all day and read a book, and you'd be welcome.
Absolutely. That was exactly the vision that we had for the Yellow Cup Cafe here in Story City. And the community really has embraced the concepts of what we have. We have all homemade soups, homemade baked goods, cold sandwiches, and starting to implement maybe, you know, or introduce some other new recipes like a quiche or a mm-hmm. breakfast casserole and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you have some of that available today. And there's someone over here eating one of those.
Yes.
And so you can be creative about bringing in new things and experimenting and new recipes. And that really gives you something beyond just a printed menu where, you know, you'd have the same thing day in, day out, week in, week out. And you've had some special events. Tell us about that, some of the fundraisers and things you've done here.
Yes, we were approached by the Kiwanis Group. So a couple months ago, we did a spaghetti supper here. The community, I think, really embraced that concept. It was fun to just sit in the back and whip up the pasta and the sauce for that community fundraiser. The third Tuesday of every month, we have a cribbage at the Cup. Looking at maybe doing some yoga at the Cup. As you can see, everything is at the Cup, just to kind of try to create that branding sense.
I think you've coined a new phrase.
Yeah.
Everything at the Cup.
This Thursday, we're going to do a craft in the evening. Urban Heirlooms, April, approached me and asked if I could host that location. Mm-hmm. We're doing bridal showers, baby showers, maybe a graduation this summer. So just being another option for the community to be able to host their private events here.
Well, there are no booths. No booths or things like that. You all have tables that are relocatable, or you could have a wide area here of
sure.
Like yoga. You know, you can put everything aside and still do yoga. You have a lot of available area. But I think your concept is good in that you're trying to incorporate groups and specialized events. Mm-hmm. That go beyond the normal traffic you'd have in a restaurant. So I think a big part of this is going to be how creative you can be in inviting groups and special activities. And you've already
Absolutely.
Done that.
Thank you.
And I remember one day I was in here, and the parents of the girls' basketball team came in, and you had all these meals boxed for their road game.
Yes, we
Tell
did.
Tell us how that started.
We did their box lunches for their away games, and that was really just an honor to be able to provide the meal for the basketball team. And each box was individual to the players based on what they wanted.
Really?
Everything
individual
was,
to the player?
Yes, it was. And then I
was born far too early.
I collaborated with PDG Printing, and they created a little inspirational quote that went into each of the boxes. So that was just kind of that extra touch.
So every
that
girl
was,
had an inspirational quote
in their
and
box.
A meal. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was really fun to create. So we're just open to anything. I mean, we're here to service the community in every way possible that within our four walls here and the manpower that we have.
It must have worked. They made the state tournament.
Must have. It must have been the meals.
You've got
the inspirational quotes.
So when you do, and this is just informative for our listening audience, when you do the idea of a restaurant, what processes you go through? What has to happen to found a restaurant? Educate our public.
Wow. Well, we kind of, I kind of chuckle because it was kind of a wing it. We were learning as we went. Luckily for us, you know, the building was available, and then we just kind of went through the process through getting the permits, and you go through the health inspection and that, and then you just market it, and then you just hope the community will come and support you. And so, we've been blessed that they have really embraced us here.
So there are various things, licensing and
yep.
maybe touching all the bases. And that's not particularly intimidating. You got through that okay.
We did fine with the help of my husband, who's very patient with me as we went through. So
he's been a believer throughout this time. And then I suppose you did a lot of painting and changed the decorum here, too.
Yep. It took us about 5.5 weeks to transform this from a retail space to a restaurant space.
That's good.
We ripped out all of the carpet and laid down the floor and about 10 gallons of primer paint just to get rid of the green walls. So a lot of blood, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into creating the Yellow Cup Cafe. But
well, you know, this is what everyone loves to watch and encourage. And it's the American dream on this scale. Everyone probably dreams of, I don't know how many people I know, I'd like to have my own restaurant. And you're living the dream.
Yes, we are. Yes.
You're living the dream. And I really think that it's an addition to the main street in Story City. And it gives you an option beyond the actual other restaurants in town that are more traditional. And I think you've carved yourself a little niche here of a place to come and read and talk and gather. And I think you're really plugging into community organizations and activities that will make this place indispensable.
Oh, indispensable. Thank you very much, Paul. I really appreciate the encouragement.
Well, Shannon Hayden, proprietor of the Yellow Cup here on Broad Street, Main Street in Story City. The Yellow Cup, a place to meet, eat and run, eat and stay, play cards, eventually do yoga, and who knows what else, the Yellow Cup in Story City. Thanks, Shannon Hayden.
Thank you.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and we've been speaking with Shannon Hayden, the owner of the Yellow Cup Cafe. The mayor of Roland, Andy Webb, just walked in, and Paul's going over to interview him.
Well, here we are talking with Andy Webb, who is the mayor of Roland, Iowa, and we're sitting at the Yellow Cup in Story City in a nice little corner of the restaurant, and it's a quiet time to talk about Roland. Welcome to our show, Andy.
Thank you, Paul. It's always good to be here.
Now, we can sing the praises of Roland. Tell us about the most recent honor we have going here.
Well,
the list.
They listed us as number 8 among the top 20 small cities in the state of Iowa, and we're real pleased about that.
Yes, and you outranked Story City.
I did. 20. How about? Eat your heart out.
How long have you been mayor of Roland now?
Finishing my first term up, so election comes up in November. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you going to repeat?
Planning on it. We'll see what happens, Lord willing.
Well, if you're ranked that high, I don't see anyone voting against Andy Webb. What's happening in Roland now? There's a bond issue. We're actually recording this on Tuesday, so voting today is happening in Roland.
Voting today. In fact, I voted just before we came over here, and the Roland Pool was put in 1968. It's now 50 years old, and it's just basically worn out. And so we need to replace the pool. We think it's an important asset for the community, for our children, for the young families. And so the plan is simply to replace, not upgrade, but just keep the same footprint and just replace the pool and put it in. But projections would be a $3.1 million project. So there's a bond issue vote currently going on. We need a 60% yes vote, and I'm very encouraged. I think the people are going to support it, but you'll never know till you get the votes in.
Yeah, it's true, and I think that in both Roland and Story City, my feeling is that when it comes to bond issues that are, quote, youth-oriented, like bond issues involving the school, with the exception of the most recent one regarding the football field, people who are older and have children who are gone and out of the system tend to vote for these things. You don't see the senior population voting against things that might be identified as youth-oriented. So I hope that trend continues with this bond issue, because the great thing about both Roland Story, well, the Roland Story school system, the kids in Roland and Story City, I know a lot of folks with young kids, and the kids can get on their bike and ride to the pool every day,
right,
in safety, and they have a place to go right there in town.
Yeah.
And, of course, it can be an issue because sometimes a swimming pool is a loss leader in terms of revenue and that sort of thing upkeep. So
no city makes money on their pools.
No. So it's really an act of faith,
right,
to say we're willing to do this for the young families who,
right,
have children who can pedal to the pool. Or, mm-hmm. I like that, pedal to the pool every
pedal
day.
Pedal to the pool.
And
yes,
so,
well,
they can come every day and, mm-hmm, they can have a place to go and congregate. But it is, what is the size of the bond issue? $3 million?
$3.1 million. That's the maximum. And then what we're hoping for is once we get that approved, then we have skin in the game and we're applying for grants, mm-hmm, to see if we can lower that number. And we're hoping that actually the actual bid on putting the pool in will come in lower than that. But you never know. I'd rather have a high number and then come in with a low number and then have to go back to the public and say, well, we're $500,000 short. You know, it's,
yeah. Well, it's an issue because, number one, people have to accept the fact that replacement is the only option at this point.
Really?
They have to buy into the idea that this pool can't be repaired or patched or any, right, kind of thing to extend the life. And when they get to that point, it's called defining the problem, you know.
Right.
If we know that the pool needs replacement, then that's just a fact. And then going from that, do we invest the money to replace the pool? And
that's,
of course,
that's a real issue. Yep.
No one wants to diminish what opportunities are available.
No, but it's going to take an investment on all of our parts, both in energy to go for the grants and also then for property tax to pay for it for the next generation.
We are breaking into Mayor Webb's interview to announce the results of yesterday's bond issue for the new pool in Roland. With 100% of the votes counted, the yes votes were 82.38%. And we have Mayor Webb on the phone with a report on the turnout. So you're going to have a new pool in Roland.
Yes, we are. We're really excited about that. And we were excited that we had a 42% turnout of the eligible voters to vote.
We had tremendous support from the community for the project, and we're quite thankful for that.
Oh, I'm so glad that we got you on the line to give us that news. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Yes, well, now, a thumbnail sketch of Roland as it exists today. There are, what, three churches in town, right?
We have two. We have Bergen and Salem.
Bergen and Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Two churches, okay. And then their business district, there, you've got some things going on there, too.
Well, we have the industrial park, and starting to fill that in, and that was Franson's property, and there's another 15 acres yet available that he would be willing to release for development. He also has about 30 acres available for housing development.
And a lot of this is in the southwest side of Roland, right?
That would be correct, yes.
Yeah, so that's where you could plot out houses and do,
right,
a lot of new building.
We actually have another 12 acres up on southeast side of town, too, that would be available for
development. So both southeast and southwest could,
yes,
be eligible for,
yeah,
development. And that means that families could build new homes there on entirely new tracts of land and everything.
Right. Well, the thing is when they did the survey on the cities, they were looking at affordable housing, median income, and the median income in Roland is above the state average.
Oh,
and
yes. Okay.
Yes, dramatic. We're about 74,000 average household income. So that's good news. The bad news is then we don't qualify for some of these,
yeah,
other helps that come in from the government with lower income. But they look at median income, education, low unemployment, and commute time. And many of our people are, you know, commuting to Ames. And it's, you know, when I lived in the San Sacramento area, my driving time to things that we used was really not much different than it is from Roland into Ames.
Is that
so
right?
So it's quite convenient. And yet you have the small town atmosphere and community that we can build. I think that's something important.
And what you've just mentioned, those were criteria for ranking that high.
Right.
In the continuum of all the small towns in Iowa. So basically you're talking about a great bedroom community.
That's right.
And you're talking about good facilities, mm-hmm. and you're talking about opportunities for expansion, and you're talking about safety. You have a nice, we have, what, two or three parks, don't you?
We have three parks, yes.
Yeah, right. And for a town, how big is Roland right now, popular?
About 1,300.
Okay, so that's a lot of facilities and recreation for a town that size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things.
Tell us about the big softball complex and Bill Hennessy and that great.
Right. Well, we got a partnership with the school district, mm-hmm. and so they've taken over one of the softball fields and upgraded all of that. Right. So it's a beautiful facility, modern and up to date, and meeting all of the standards. And once the new pool's done, of course, that'll have all the ADA standards and all of that stuff for the community and for people that have special needs. And so. We're excited about that, and then we're hoping to expand what we can do in our parks. We're looking at maybe putting in a disc golf course in one of the parks, and then also potentially putting in pickleball.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about pickleball, and I'll have to learn to play it someday.
Well, I haven't learned yet either, but it's the latest thing. And so, yeah, we want for all ages, but we have a community that's filled with a lot of young families. There's many young families with young children.
I've noticed that, yes. And, you know, when it comes to these, yeah, there's actually a couple of major sports figures that are native to Roland. Gary right. Thompson, who played not only for Iowa State, but also played professionally mm-hmm. in the NBA. And then you have Bill Hennessy, for whom the fields are named.
Right.
Who actually wrote the rule book for softball. And I've often wondered when Bill was coaching if he talked to an umpire and the umpire was talking to a man who wrote the rule book. And so it's good that those fields are named after Bill Hennessy.
Well, it is.
Because he is the guy. You know.
Every community has a heritage, and we all build on those that went before us.
Yep.
And so the key is we want to keep Roland a vital moving community, not another dying community in Iowa, but one that's growing and alive and provides good resources for people to live and to be able to make a good living. And so that's what we want to do for Roland.
Well, I think that the next step probably, and hopefully over time, there'll be more exciting things happening in the old business district. You know,
I would love it.
Some entrepreneurial people, you know, on today's program we talked to the person who, Shannon, who runs this Yellow Cup restaurant where we are now. And that's the kind of creative entrepreneurship you can have in your business district, because that really helps a town become more viable.
Yeah.
And then you have a Casey's store. You know, that's you've got to have a Casey's store or a convenience store of some kind. So basically, you're talking about all services being available in Roland. Anything you want to add, Andy, before
we... Well, you know, one of our new businesses is G.I. Jill just came in.
Yeah, I heard about G.I. Jill.
And, you know, there were the Grove, and they've just really done wonderful things. You know, that was the VFW and American Legion, I should say, and they took it over, and yet they still allow the American Legion to have their meetings there and hold fundraisers there. But they've gotten behind community fundraisers. They're just a great asset to our
community.
And he's
the proprietor of the Grove Cafe in Ames, too.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I went to a fundraiser there. It was a delicious hot beef or something.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, hey, we've been talking with a wonderful man, Andy Webb, who is mayor of Roland. They are ranked highly among, what's the ranking again, Andy?
Number eight.
Out of a host of towns in terms of quality of life, safety, and all the things that make a community, a great place to live. And Andy, about to complete a term as mayor. He'll be running again next year and probably win in a landslide. Andy Webb, mayor of Roland, Iowa. Thank you, Andy.
Good to be here, Paul.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Brad Taylor, Thomas Klett, Whitney Erickson, Shannon Hayden, and Andrew Webb. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. Local Talk was engineered by Aladdin Al-Kathari. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Für Elise by Beethoven, played on the J-Term piano in front of the Yellow Cup Cafe. Several selections from Brian Keenan's CD, Hidden Falls. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878, or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just look for the yellow donate button. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.